Good evening, Patriots. My name is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Wednesday, February 26th. This is a Q thread that I began yesterday, February 25th. Those of you following along at home, doing your own decodes, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including QAnon.pub, QMap.pub, QAlerts.app. If you have an Android device and you would like to get notifications when Q is posting, got a couple of options. QMap has an app. So does QAlerts. They actually have the regular version, which I think is like $1. And then there is also the QAlerts Lite, which is free. If you have an iPhone and you'd like to get notifications, you might want to check out the Get Pushed app. If you install that app on your phone and then search for the updates from QAlerts, you should be able to get notifications when Q is posting. My theme for this broadcast is America is no longer for sale. Q has asserted over time that politicians sold America's future to foreign interests and enriched themselves at our expense. Prior to the election of Donald Trump, Q says that Saudi Arabia controlled several nations, mainly the United States and the UK, in part by blackmailing politicians over acts of pedophilia. It is not all politicians, really just key ones that are important for strategic reasons. Some people, of course, have a hard time accepting this idea, but this article came out yesterday in the Independent UK. Police and political figures knew for decades that there was widespread pedophilia in the UK Parliament, but it was covered up by authorities because it was too inconvenient to let the public know about it. And all of this darkness is going to be exposed. It's all coming out. Drip, drip, drip. One day after another, it's coming out. Back in November of 2017, Q suggested that Hugh Hefner was actually a CIA operative and that his Playboy lifestyle was a cover story for a blackmail operation. In this post, there is a hint that Chuck Schumer, CS, is connected to George Soros, Playboy, Heidi Fleiss, and Heidi Fleiss. Clown is a euphemism for clowns in America or the CIA, and of course, blackmail. So Q hasn't posted a whole lot more on that subject. Some politicians are controlled through blackmail. Other politicians are controlled by money. The John McCain Institute received a $1 million donation from Saudi Arabia. Money that is given to the nonprofit that are named after politicians. If the politician is going to use that money, it has to be carefully laundered. Nonprofit law restricts individuals from using nonprofit money for their own personal use. And that's actually a big problem that I think Bill and Hillary Clinton are going to run into, is investigators have said that Bill Clinton commingled Clinton Foundation money for his own personal use. Clinton Foundation has received millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, other countries. Other political figures have received money for positions on the board of directors for non-government organizations or as a CEO of shell companies. This is in a post from Q from January of 2018. Loop Capital, not often mentioned, but Loop Capital is a Chicago investment firm, and Q has hinted that Loop Capital has been instrumental in helping launder money that is funneled to politicians. So we have this one, Slush Fund. Hussein, number one, $29 million from Singapore. We don't say his name, that's John McCain, $19 million, Singapore. Hillary and Bill Clinton, $15 million, Banco de Mexico. Nancy Pelosi, $8 million. Deutsche Bank, on and on, follow the money. So there's a strong suggestion from Q that a lot of these political figures are being paid for their political services in various ways. Sometimes payment for political services rendered is disguised as a book deal. We know that the Obamas had a $65 million book deal, and Q has brought that up in recent posts. James Comey also got a multi-million dollar book deal. Andrew McCabe got a book deal. And Marie Yovanovitch, the recently fired, actually I think she stepped down, ambassador just inked a seven-figure book deal. Imagine that. I don't know if any of these people have received this money as a quid pro quo. I can't say that, but there are some suspicions that maybe that's the case. Politicians like Hillary Clinton have sold America's most highly classified secrets to the highest bidder. In this post from February of 2018, Q was talking about Hillary Clinton and her corrupt practices, and one of the Anons realized that Hillary had sold special access programs that were on her server. Q asked, how do you break up something this big? What happens if low, mid, and senior non-corrupt patriots, this would be in military intelligence or CIA, learned that they were sold out? What happens? Well, it's not going to be good for these people when the truth comes out. In November 2019, Q made it clear that the traitors who sold us out to foreign interests would be prosecuted, and that under Donald Trump, America was no longer for sale. You are witnessing the largest organized disinformation campaign to ever be perpetrated on the public. This is the mainstream media and political campaign. Trust yourself. Be free in your thoughts. Great awakening. Returning power to the people. It's been a long time since we've had a non-corrupt president who works on behalf of the American people and not himself. America is no longer for sale. I found that interesting that Q posted this last year, and last week at a rally, President Trump delivered that same message. This is at the rally in Las Vegas.
But we're reversing decades of calamitous trade policies. For years, Washington politicians took money from lobbyists, global corporations, and corrupt special interests to ship our jobs and factories and all of this stuff and all of this wealth. They stole our wealth. They shipped it overseas and to other countries. America lost 1 in 4 manufacturing jobs following the twin disasters of NAFTA and China's entrance into the WTO, the World Trade Organization, probably an even worse deal for us than NAFTA, if that's possible. But under my administration, the great betrayal of America is over. America is no longer for sale.
In December, Q informed us that our government had been infiltrated with corrupt people and that a deep cleaning was underway to remove and replace them. This was a post from December 18th. Fired or forced, all the people we can list at the FBI have been removed. Cortan, Comey, McCabe, Bowditch, Baker, Strzok, Page, they've all these people, dozens of people have been removed from the FBI. A lot of people removed from the DOJ. Rex Tillerson and Pompeo have removed a lot of people from the State Department. A lot of people were forced out of Congress and CIA, and those people have been replaced. A lot of resignations from the DOD as well. And so the president has been working his way through the process, installing new judges. They've been hiring new people, DOJ, FBI, CIA. And recently, that has turned to the Office of Personnel and ODNI. We'll talk about that in just a minute. All right, so on the 24th, it would be 2 days ago, Q posted this. It was a repost of this drop here. And then it was there's a link here to a tweet by Nate Kane and his interview. He did a podcast with Bards of War. And Q writes, listen carefully. Think regarding why there have been no arrests or justice yet. What if almost every critical position, senior position, within the U.S. government apparatus was infiltrated? What must be done first? The swamp runs deep. Plus, sleepers. Backgrounds are important. Muslim Brotherhood. List of in the news now names in brackets, with known ties to Islam. This is not another four-year election. And now in brackets we have, this is a message we'll talk about in a second. Assumptions correct, package well, REC, REC, in brackets known. All right. So I'm going to break this post down a little bit at a time. In the context of the president's staffing problems, a sleeper is a person who appears to be working on behalf of the president, but they are secretly undermining his agenda. I think a lot of people who have been removed already were found out to be sleepers, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of those people exposed and removed. Richard Grenell has just been appointed by the president as the new Director of National Intelligence. He's already Senate confirmed, and this is a temporary appointment. It's not permanent. But Grenell and Kash Patel. Kash Patel now is going to be his top assistant. According to what I've been seeing in the newspapers, these two have been told to go in and clean the swamp in the ODNI, so that'll be going on. And then we've got Johnny McEntee, who took over the Presidential Office of Personnel. He'll be identifying more people that need to be removed. So we're making some progress. And Politico recently wrote an article about Kash Patel coming in, working with Rick Grenell in ODNI. And then also Axios wrote this article about Johnny McEntee and how he is not going to be promoting Never Trumpers and probably going to be getting rid of some people and hiring a lot of new people. So this is going to take some time. There's no way this is going to happen overnight. All right. In the above post, Q linked to tweets by Nate Kane and Bards of War in an interview where Nate explained the totalitarian tactics that were used against him when he tried to expose the FBI's cover-up of crimes committed by Hillary Clinton and other people associated with the Obama administration. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that full interview, you know, set time aside and listen to the interview. It's not that long, very insightful. Q has previously said that in the 2016 presidential election, that was not just another four-year election. Now, Q posted in this recent post, this is not another four-year election. So the one coming up in 2020, in November, again, not another four-year election. There is a lot at stake. All right. So I'm just working my way down through this post. Obviously, what must be done first before justice and arrests happen? Well, you have to get rid of the corrupt people, and there's a lot of them. And if you are the person who's waiting for arrests to happen, that's like going to a big banquet and waiting for the ice cream. Ice cream comes at the end of the night. Everything else comes first. If you want your dessert first, you're not going to get your dessert first. You're going to have to wait because there's a lot of serious work that needs to be done before this can happen. This line here, in brackets, assumptions correct, package well, rec or received, known. I think this line is a message to Nate Kane, letting him know that his assumptions about the Senate Intel Committee were correct. So what happened was Nate took legally, as a whistleblower, using the whistleblower protection statute. He sent packages through the Department of Justice Inspector General to Senate Intel Committee and House Intel Committee. And he was suspicious that he couldn't really trust people at the Senate Intel Committee. He was very confident because the House Intel at that time was Devin Nunes was the chair, and he had reason to trust Devin Nunes. So in the podcast, he explains that he didn't really trust the Senate Intel Committee. And he found out later that the package sat there in a drawer and not much was done with it. So this message here, assumptions are correct. I think Q was letting Nate know his assumptions about the Senate Intel Committee and the House Intel Committee were correct, that the package was received. And I suspect that the information in there was known. To who, I'm not sure, but I think that's what this line means. I talked with Nate about this on this thread, and he agrees that he thinks my interpretation is correct. And we have more information on that too. All right, Q wrote, backgrounds are important, Muslim Brotherhood. List of in the news now names in brackets with known ties to Islam. Hillary Clinton, we know, and those in her circle of influence are connected to Islam through whom Abedin and her family has extensive ties specifically to people connected to Muslim Brotherhood. If you haven't had a chance to read Andrew McCarthy's articles on Huma Abedin, they're very good, very insightful. He's got two of them. The title of one of them is Huma Abedin's Muslim Brotherhood Ties. The other one is Questions About Huma Abedin. That's for starters. McCarthy also wrote a book called The Grand Jihad, where he argues that our government has cooperated with Islamists who have spawned enclaves in our midst with the goal of gradually foisting Sharia law and Islamic ideology on unwitting Americans. That is the book Grand Jihad by Andrew McCarthy. And he uses a lot of information he's gathered over his time as a prosecutor from cases that they've prosecuted. So he presents a lot of evidence for his assertions. All right, so who else do we know of in the news that might be connected to Islam? It's difficult to say if former CIA Director John Brennan is a Muslim. A lot of people say that he is. I have not found anything conclusive that says that he is a Muslim. However, he definitely has an affinity for Islam. There's all kinds of stories out there talking about statements he's made about Islam, his time in Riyadh when he was CIA station chief, and his fascination with Islam. The Obama White House prioritized outreach to Islamic communities. Valerie Jarrett was instrumental in advancing that agenda. Got a link here to an address that Valerie Jarrett gave with the Islamic Societies of North America. John Kerry is also an interesting figure. He may not be a follower of Islam, but the Iran nuclear deal would not have happened without him. He became very cozy with Zarif, the foreign minister for Iran, and the two of them almost single-handedly hammered out the Iran nuclear deal. Kerry has been an ally of the Iranian regime and has worked overtime ever since Trump got elected to undermine the president's foreign policy. This email, published by WikiLeaks, shows how the Obama administration sought people for cabinet positions who were known Muslims, and they discriminated against non-Muslim Arabs in this line right here. In the candidates for top jobs, I excluded those with some Arab-American background, but who are not Muslim. Many Lebanese Americans, for example, are Christians. In the last list, most who are listed appear to be Muslim American, except a handful. Those were noted. Maybe Arab American, but of uncertain religion. So this email basically describes how they systematically try to include Muslims in the administration. Kind of a little smoking gun. All right, that's as much research as I did on who is connected to Islam. Now, I'm going to shift gears. If the Obama administration cooperated in a covert takeover of the U.S. government and assisted Islamic sympathizers, that action could technically be called an insurgency. An insurgency is normally carried out by anti-government forces, not government employees, but this was a very interesting type of insurgency. In this case, the insurgency was facilitated by our government employees in a number of agencies with the objective of secretly subverting control of our government and handing off power to people outside of our country. Now, Q posted this on the 24th. There's a link to a document on the State Department website, and it is a description of how the Obama administration intended to deal with insurgencies overseas. Very interesting, because it looks like they're actually planning an insurgency here in the States. Now, Q posted a link to that document. Insurgency is the organized use of subversion and violence to seize, nullify, or challenge political control of a region. That's a quote from this document. Q wrote, "The presidency of Barack Hussein Obama began on noon Eastern on January 20th, 2009, when Barack Obama was inaugurated as the 44th president of the United States. What country was the true intended target?" Well, I believe that Obama was facilitating an insurgency takeover of our own government, and they were covering that up and trying to get the world to focus on insurgencies in other countries. The executive summary of this document is very interesting. It's 2.5 pages. If you have a chance to read it, I would definitely read it. It describes overseas insurgencies, but if you think from the mindset that there was an insurgency happening in the United States, it tells exactly how they planned to do it. Step by step, how they were going to subvert the government and subvert our culture and hand it over to foreign interests. So that document is definitely worth checking out. All right. In a very famous video, General Flynn, in his discussion of digital soldiers, actually mentioned insurgency, a political insurgency. And I had never made the connection of what he was talking about until Q dropped this document and talks about insurgency. And now I realize that I think General Flynn was actually describing what was happening here in the United States.
Because this was an insurgency, folks. This was run like an insurgency. This was irregular warfare at its finest in politics.
The broader context of that discussion, of course, is digital soldiers. How average citizens took back control of the public narrative through social media. And I'll let you listen to the longer video.
And we have an army, okay, as a soldier and as a general, as a retired general, we have an army of digital soldiers. What we are now, what I call them, because this was an insurgency, folks. This was run like an insurgency. This was irregular warfare at its finest in politics. And that story will continue to be told here. But we have what we call citizen journalists. Okay, because the journalists that we have in our media did a disservice to themselves, actually more than they did to this country. They did a disservice to themselves because they displayed an arrogance that is unprecedented. And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information. They took over the idea of information, and they did it through social media. How many of you know about Periscope? Okay, raise your hands up. It's okay to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you that question. I'm not going to give you a test question. Yeah, okay, good. Periscope. I didn't know about Periscope till a few months ago. I didn't know about it. I watched one individual who will be nameless here, but one individual who has 650,000 followers just on Twitter, which really these days doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot. It's enough. This individual is a huge influencer. So we title him as an influencer. Okay. So he puts out a tweet to his 650,000 followers and says, I'm going to be on Periscope doing a live media broadcast in 15 minutes. 15 minutes. 35 million people viewed that. 35 million. Because everybody said, hey, because the guy's great. He's great. When he talks, he's out there. He's an American patriot. He's an American patriot. So when we talk about patriotism, how do we fight as patriots today? We fight at the voting booth. We fight in our schools. You know, in the military, when you're a young officer or sergeant, corporal, private, you know, we demand those individuals to demonstrate physical courage, to be fearless, demonstrate physical courage. Why? We want them to do it on the physical exercise field. We want them to do it in the very physical demanding extremes that we put them through on training, because we want them to demonstrate physical courage in the face of all odds on the battlefield. The more senior that you get, and I learned this, but actually I completely believe the opposite now for our younger generation. And it's the older you get in the military, we sort of begin to change that physical courage to what I call intellectual courage. And intellectual courage actually takes more bravery at times. Because to be intellectually courageous, and this is for you, this is really for this foundation, this is for the young people in this room, you are demonstrating a level of intellectual courage that our country desperately needs.
One of the reasons why I am so active on Twitter and YouTube is I do consider myself to be a digital soldier. And we all have the ability to influence the narrative, to help spread the truth, if we're willing to take a little courage and bravery and go out there on social media and spread the message. By the way, General Flynn's book, Field of Flight, has a lot to say about the insurgency that we have been watching over the last few years. All right, on the 25th, that was yesterday, Anon posted a link to a tweet by CNBC that announced the resignation of Disney CEO Bob Iger. And Anon said Iger didn't quit Disney. Well, that's technically true. Most CEOs, when they announce that they're resigning, they don't immediately leave their companies. They usually remain on as a member of the board of directors, or they function in some kind of advisory capacity until their contract ends. In this case, Iger's contract runs through the end of 2021. If he does not end up getting charged with anything criminally, he may stick around that long, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. Q responded to that post with, "The silent war continues." And I would draw your attention to the fact that there are two periods on the end of the silent war. So I've been looking at the ellipses at the end of the previous post by Q about the silent war. And I want to show you something interesting. Q ended this post with, "The silent war continues," and there are five dots in the ellipsis. On February 8th, Q posted again, this post, it ended with, "The silent war continues," there are four dots in the ellipsis. On February 12th, Q posted again, and this post has three dots in the ellipsis. And the one yesterday that Q posted has a two-dot ellipsis. So we've got a countdown. We've got 5, 4, 3, 2. If I'm correct, this looks like a countdown. We should be seeing a post at some point in the future that says the silent war continues and only has a period at the end. And what that is going to signify, I don't know. But I do think we're in the middle of a countdown. All right, so 1 year ago yesterday, Q asked who would fall after Harvey Weinstein. This is a post, a couple of tweets by Patton Oswalt bragging about how proud he is to be a pedophile. And Q wrote, "Who will be next to fall post Weinstein? Big name coming. Nobody is safe." Well, that was on February 25th. All right. Harvey Weinstein was convicted on the 24th. So Q reposted that drop and said, "Now, isn't that interesting that Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, steps down the day after Harvey Weinstein was convicted of rape?" Future proves past? Maybe. I wanted to mention something about this post. The file name of this image is D0RYDDVWKA6E61QQ. This could be a randomly generated file name, but it's interesting to me that it begins with what is essentially Dory. And of course, Dory is the name of a fish. And that character was, the voice was Ellen DeGeneres. Is Q calling his shot and telling us who is going to be next? I don't know. I did have a dream about Ellen DeGeneres probably a year and a half ago. If I remember correctly, the dream, she had suddenly announced that she was done with showbiz. I'll look up that dream. And if I'm not correct on that, I'll give you an update on it in the next video. Speaking of resignations, CEO of MasterCard resigned yesterday. Ajay Banga stepped down. Also, Salesforce CEO Keith Block resigned today. Salesforce is a cloud computing service that grew pretty quickly under Block's leadership. They had $4 billion in sales in 2013, and they had $17 billion in sales last year. But he is stepping down. All right. Yesterday, the Senate failed to pass a bill that would require medical care to be provided to babies that survive an abortion. Q posted a link to that article and said these people are sick. Well, yes, they are. If you are not willing to mandate the resuscitation of a living baby after an attempted abortion, I think you've got something wrong with your moral compass. Exactly 1 year previous to yesterday's bill, Democrats had blocked the passage of a Born Alive bill in the Senate. So Q posted a link to that article from a year ago, just as a reminder that these people are determined to get their agenda. Inevitable ET, our friend, was cued last night for this tweet. It's going to be biblical. Revelation 9:3, then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. Power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. Saudi Arabia. So there's this video of all these birds in Saudi Arabia. These are sort of like, I guess, biblical plagues. He did a thread with all these strange locusts and birds and various things all over different parts of the world. Q reposted his tweet and gave us this passage from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Q. And Anon remembered that Q had posted that a year ago, reposted it, and Q put it up on the board. An Indian Anon sent his love to Q and Q+. Thank you for the wonderful visit, Q and Q+. Love, respect, and support from India. And he's got the Where We Go One, We Go All on a piece of paper covering his face. Q replied, love and light, Patriot. Have faith, trust in yourself. Where We Go One, We Go All. Q. And from the troops, we have an American flag. And Q posted their picture and responded, Godspeed, Q. All right, moving along to some other news. Bayer chairman Werner Wenning, one of the architects of a $63 billion takeover of Monsanto, announced he is stepping down as chairman of Bayer. And just as a reminder for those of you, and there's some people who knew, maybe don't know about this. On December 21st, 2017, President Trump signed an executive order authorizing the Treasury Department to seize assets of people and organizations involved in human rights abuse, human trafficking, and corruption. Since then, thousands of CEOs have resigned from their positions. Actually, Eric Schmidt resigned the same day. Q told us track CEO resignations the day that that executive order was signed. Resignation Anon has tracked nearly 12,000 resignations since that executive order was signed. There's a lot of CEOs, CFOs, and COOs resigning from their companies. And we believe this is all part of a corruption crackdown. They know that the storm is coming and they're getting out before the poo hits the fan. All right, need to circle back for on this previous post. He's talking to Nate Kane and our friend who does the podcast, quite frankly. And he said that there was something in the broadcast they did last night. Nate Kane did another broadcast. Frank hits me up and goes, hey man, you want to listen to last night's video? There was a Q-proof in there. And I was like, oh really? What's that all about? So I listened to the broadcast, and sure enough, very, very interesting revelation. So in this post, Q mentioned Muslim Brotherhood and a list of names with known ties to Islam. So Nate was kind of curious when he saw that in this post, because he had some information nobody else had. And I'm going to let you listen to the first part of this interview, this where Nate talks about how the Obama administration enabled Muslim Brotherhood and destroyed records of Muslims who had terrorist ties.
When it comes to Mr. Haney, I'd love to just hear your thoughts on the whole situation, his work, the circumstances surrounding his death, and if you have any theories about, you know, motive, or if this is just a tragic accident somehow.
I don't believe it's an accident. I don't believe he killed himself. To me, I don't care what they say. You know, this is a murder. It's plain and simple. This guy was, he was getting married, I think, next month. You know, he was in the process of, you know, getting another book, you know, writing another book. He was a devout Christian. From everything that I've heard, there's no reason why he would kill himself. And he, as far as I know, he didn't leave a note. He didn't, you know, give any indication or anything like that. So that just doesn't make any sense. I think it's pretty obvious that he was murdered. And it's funny because I posted a link this morning to, I think it was CBS Local. They had the sheriff's department on there, and the sheriffs were backtracking their initial, you know, claim that this was a suicide. And they were saying, you know, we just want to be clear, you know, we have not determined that it's a suicide, and we treat every, you know, every death as a, you know, as a homicide. And, you know, and he said that they were, you know, still investigating. I think they're supposed to have an autopsy tomorrow. But, you know, he was working on some stuff. You know, the stuff that he exposed had to do with corruption within, you know, within the FBI. And it had to do with what had gone on with the Obama administration when they came in and basically deleting records out of their database of Muslims that had terrorist ties. But to me, it could have been something as simple as they were trying to, you know, improve the image, you know, of you know, American Muslim relations or whatever, you know. But the bottom line is, is this intel that they deleted was directly, you know, supported that these were, it wasn't just, you know, random Muslims. This was, these were Muslims specifically with terrorist ties.
That information goes along with what we've been talking about regarding the insurgency, where it looks like the Obama administration was cooperating with Muslim Brotherhood. And in this next video, Nate explained that although he had never said publicly, his whistleblower complaint was related to the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, some of the documents he turned over discussed the Muslim Brotherhood. He wondered if Q knew about the contents of his classified disclosure.
And there was an interesting aspect to it in that Phil, he went into a lot of exposing our government's interactions with the Muslim Brotherhood. And that's interesting because there was a, as you know, I'm sure, and everybody on this channel probably knows, there was a Q post last night of my interview. And in that Q post, Q mentions Muslim Brotherhood. So I have never shared publicly that any of the information that I handed over mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood or had the Muslim Brotherhood in it. But In fact, there were documents that were directly related to things involving the Muslim Brotherhood. So
that was part of your that was part of your initial whistleblowing, part of the things that you brought to the intelligence committees and everything. It was that, and it's and then seeing that on the cue board, you your ears perked up. Is that the first time you pay attention to that board?
I've looked at it before. I mean, you know, I've been on there, three or four times or something like that, that my name's been posted on there. So, you know, whenever it gets posted on there, I get a whole bunch of people hitting me up saying Q sent me, and, you know, and people will send me links to it, you know. So, of course, I'm going to go look and see, you know, what is this they're talking about. And, you know, and a lot of it, you know, it's very cryptic, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what it means. And for a long time, I kind of just thought it was a, you know, like a LARP or something like that. But I've come around to believing that, you know, that there is something to it, especially since the Q post seemed to indicate information that I hadn't shared publicly.
In this next section, Nate explains that he thinks U.S. Attorney John Durham may have received the information that he turned over.
The last thing that was said was package received. And so, you know, I'm hoping that that's indicative that, you know, that the right people have this information and are doing something about it. There was a story that came out, I want to say it was like 2 weeks ago, I think, Sarah Carter story, but she mentioned that John Durham had gone to meet with IG Horowitz and had received a trove of documents that were internal to the FBI. And in that there was a lot of financial data in there. And so I'm wondering if the documents that I handed over have been put in the hands of Durham. I suspect they probably have.
Oh, that would be tremendous.
If he's investigating, right, you know, the origin of the Trump-Russia collusion, you know, eventually that's going to lead to trying to discover what was the motive, you know, for them to do this. And I think the motive was they needed to cover up the cover-up. And so eventually it's going to lead back to what were they trying to hide by creating this great distraction. And what they were trying to hide, I think, was that they had covered up all these crimes committed by, you know, various powerful people, including the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation.
If you'd like to listen to the full interview, it's on YouTube. Whistleblower Roulette, featuring Nate Kane and Jeffrey Peterson. That is on Political Orgies YouTube channel. Very insightful interview. And I'd like to circle back to this post on insurgency one more time. So, interesting observation that someone sent me in a message on Twitter. Barack Obama was inaugurated on January 20th, 2009. If you write out that date, it's written 12009 or 129. That is the same time on that pesky watch that Q posted back on December 2nd. I do not know if that is connected to anything, but it is an observation someone sent me. There's a lot of interesting things going on right now. I'm not able to keep track of them all. I'm just doing my best to give you the information, keep you caught up. If you are new to the Q movement, or if you have friends or family who want to know more about Q, they might want to check out my book, Calm Before the Storm. You can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It is written for people who know nothing about Q. I explain Q's operation from the very beginning, go through several of the themes that Q has discussed, and people have found it to be very helpful. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Love you all. Take care. And we'll catch you on the next broadcast.